I'm Brendan Rivers. Democratic gubernatorial candidate Andrew Gillum has Duval County to thank in large part for his primary win last month. And the mayor of Tallahassee says Jacksonville will continue to be a focus in the general election campaign. He called WJCT News last week. Here's more of what he had to say. So I know you were here for that WNYC interview. Were you doing anything else while you were in Jacksonville yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday we spent some good time. We met with a couple of our supporters and longstanding volunteers, took a couple of private meetings and had a fundraiser there in Jacksonville. I owe Jacksonville a lot. It came out for me big time. And it was one of the first places I wanted to go after becoming the nominee to just express my appreciation.
Yeah, you won by like over 40,000 votes, and Duval alone, I think, was made up more than 20,000. So it was about half your margin of victory.
It was huge. It was huge for us. It was huge. I mean, it was outside of Tallahassee, one of the few places where we crossed the 50% threshold. And again, in a five-way race where we frankly didn't have the resources to compete on television at the level we would have loved to in that area, it was quite a significant boon for us to win.
So it sounds like you didn't expect to do so well in this area.
Well, I mean, we worked it, right? I mean, we came over there, but the truth is you can only retail your way so much around an area as large and expansive as Jacksonville is. Now, I have family over there. I've got a sibling. I've got aunts. My grandmother lives there. It's not a place that's foreign to me, but in the totality of running statewide, it was extremely heartening to me to see Jacksonville show up and support at the level that they did. I believe we're going to win Duval County in the general election. And part of that is because we did so well, and we're going to double down on our efforts there.
And is that doubling down because you saw how well you did, or you were going to double down anyways?
We were going to double down anyway because we needed in order to win the state. But certainly the showing that we had there demonstrated for us that there really is a strong appetite in Duval County for our message and what we're trying to fight for on behalf of everyday working people. And that level of support, we want to expand on, we want to build on, and we want to turn out as much of that vote as we possibly can.
So after the shooting at the Jacksonville Landing, guns are on the minds of Floridians and especially people here in Duval County. Can you just kind of go over your stances on guns for me? And is there anything that you're proposing that you think might have stopped that shooting?
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, not only are we in Jacksonville, are we faced with the issue of, you know, obviously those unfortunate, you know, sort of mass shooting incidents. But you also, and we all know this experience, everyday gun violence that really does disrupt and pervade too many of our neighborhoods, too many of our communities throughout Duval County. And I think the prescript, the solution is going to be different to address those two different forms of gun violence. But specifically to the shooting at the Landing and also at the high school football game, I mean, we've got to ensure that we're getting our young people the kind of support that they need. Secondly, that we're doing some of the important things like background checks for anybody who wants to carry the power of God on their waist belt. And I don't care how they get to the point of attaining a gun, that they at least ought to have to complete a background check and even some mental health check to ensure that they're the right kind of folks who should have access to that kind of deadly power. I firmly believe that domestic violence abusers should not have access to weapons where they can snuff out the lives of their loved ones. And I absolutely believe that anyone who wants to be able to shoot a gun that can fire off, you know, tens of rounds of bullets in less than 60 seconds ought to join the military. But those kinds of high-capacity magazines and weapons of war have no place on our city streets. To deal with some of the pervasive forms of gun violence that we experience on the everyday streets of Duval County, we've got to get back to some of the basics. How are we ensuring that young people have options to get connected to jobs and skills training? My grandmother used to say, and I know it's a very familiar adage for many, that, you know, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. It's one of the reasons why, in dealing with our own crime issues in Tallahassee, you know, I started a 1,000 Mentors initiative. We started a summer jobs program where we targeted the parts of our community which were the highest crime areas and the youth in those areas to offer them jobs and campus tours and certification that they could use to then apply for year-round work. Because we recognize that once our young people lose hope and they no longer feel like they have anything to live or die for, then they make reckless decisions that lead to, you know, pervasive violence and criminality, which unfortunately has become too familiar, not just in Duval County, but around the state. So I think the prescripts are going to be different depending upon the type of violence that we're trying to curb. But generally, it is going to take a governor who's committed to curbing some of the free-willing action that happens in this state when it comes to access to any gun at any cost.
Your Republican opponent, Ron DeSantis, has resigned from Congress. Do you intend to resign as mayor of Tallahassee?
I do not. I was elected mayor, and I think the people of my community are proud to have me as mayor. They showed as much in their vote in the primary election. I'm going to complete my job. I'm going to do the job I was elected to do. I do find it interesting that the congressman resigned his position on the same day that it became nationally exposed that he had given four speeches in front of groups that were at the farthest extreme of hate conversation in this country. The congressman has largely led an unremarkable career in Congress, largely spending his time on Fox News, trafficking in the president's conspiracy theories and further promoting Donald Trump, working and seeking ways to undermine this nation's healthcare system, which would severely disadvantage Floridians. And when he couldn't get away with that any further without having scrutiny around his record, he decided to walk away from work. I'm elected. I'm not going to walk away from my job. I'm going to do my job until I'm elected the next governor of the state of Florida and began to do that job.
What's it like running for governor while you're running a city?
Well, it's pretty incredible. I started my day in Tallahassee at a 9/11 observance, then traveled to Tampa, where I am right now, and will conclude my day back in Tallahassee. We'll take my kids to school in the morning and we'll be at City Hall all day. So it's a bit of a juggle, but I signed up for it, so no room to complain.
Most people expected you to go with Gwen Graham as your lieutenant governor. Why did you end up picking Chris King?
Well, I think my supporters expected me to choose a lieutenant governor who complemented the issues that I ran on, someone who shared my belief and my theory of change around how we make this a state that works for more people. Of all the candidates that ran for governor, Chris Moore aligned with my belief system. He complimented my style. And quite frankly, I wanted to choose a partner, someone who will work with me, be a thought partner, as we work to govern this state over the next 4 to 8 years. I'm extremely proud of him as a choice. I'm extremely proud of his distinguished resume as a business leader in Central Florida, and the fact that he not only has been able to maintain great credibility as a business leader, but that he also shares a progressive vision for the future of this state to boot, were the exact things that I was looking for in a partner, which is why I chose him to be my lieutenant governor.
So some people say by picking King and doubling down on these progressive policies, you missed a chance to appeal to people in the middle. How do you plan to get those people's votes?
I disagree and couldn't disagree more strongly that what we believe is any different than what everyday people in this state, including those who identify themselves in the middle, want. They want a governor who's going to stand up to the NRA and to the gun lobby and to ensure to the safety of their children as they go to school, but also the safety of their communities as their kids walk home from school. They want a governor who is going to work to ensure that we expand Medicaid for 700,000 of the most medically needy people in this state, and at the same time pulling down $6 billion from the federal government that Rick Scott and the Republicans and the legislature left on the table. If President Trump wanted to send me $2.4 billion to build high-speed rail across the I-4 corridor, I would accept that money, not because I agree with him on his policy positions, but because the job of the governor of the state of Florida is to do what is in the best interest of all of the people of the state of Florida. I believe people are going to choose us because we are advocating that we pay teachers what they're worth. People are so turned off by this derisive and divisive politics that are being championed by my opponent and by President Trump. They want somebody who is going to lead this state, not in a red or a blue direction or a purple direction, but in a direction that makes our state a state that works for more people, that puts Florida first. That's what we're running on, and that's why I believe we're going to win. And again, I don't think that's a Democrat or a Republican message. I think it's a message for the people of this state, and that's why we'll win this state.
What's your take on DeSantis's running mate?
I don't know his running mate. I certainly agreed with her assessment of Donald Trump before she tweeted, deleted the tweet. If she still holds those feelings, then to me she seems like a decent person and a person who certainly has good judgment around the kind of president that now resides in the White House.
So I believe you're the first African-American gubernatorial nominee for a major party in Florida. And if you're elected in November, you'll be the state's first African-American governor. What do you think that would mean for the state?
Well, obviously, I mean, I think contrasting that with the kind of politics and the spewing of hate that we see coming out of the president and that is being parroted by Mr. DeSantis, it will signal a very, very stark contrast to the national conversation. And in many ways, in Florida, we will have done something pretty remarkable by reminding the rest of the nation and indeed the rest of the world that there is still something very common and decent about the people of not only my state, but of our country. But more importantly, when I'm elected governor, I think people will see that we will have crossed the superficial barrier that sometimes these labels put on us, and they'll see that I'm a governor for all the people of the state of Florida, that the color that matters is the color of blue-green algae flowing out of the east and the west side of this state that I'm going to attack and put environmental protection back into the Department of Environmental Protection. The color that matters is the green that people want to earn so that they don't have to work multiple jobs in order to pay their bills and to make ends meet. The color that I think is going to be most important in this state is not going to be the color of my skin, but what we're going to do to embrace the diversity of all the people of our state to show that we are a 21st century state, a state that values the lives of all of the people who call this state home. And I think that will signal a huge shift in comparison to what's happening at the federal level. The state of Florida will lead not only in this country, but we're going to be a national and a global leader.
So you mentioned earlier DeSantis's role as a speaker in some alt-right events, and he came under fire in the past week or so for the monkey comments he made. Do you think the competition between you two, do you think race is going to be a major issue going forward?
Well, I hate that they're making it an issue, right? I mean, voters, I haven't heard a single voter, right, that's concerned about my race. They want to know what I believe. And more importantly, they want to know what I'm going to do for them. How do we create this state to be one that works for them again, that they can believe in, that they can once again pin their hopes and aspirations on? Unfortunately, I think that this talk of race by my opponent and his sympathizers is a simple distraction. And if they think that that kind of baiting is going to be the kind of thing that people in this state respond to, I think they got another thing coming to them. I don't believe that the majority of people in this state are going to respond well to that brand of politics. They're going to respond to a candidate for governor who's talking about their everyday issues, how we're going to improve their livelihood and their family's outcomes. And if we're not talking about that, then we're not talking about what matters. And I'm going to talk about what matters at every step of this race. And I want to invite Mr. DeSantis into that conversation, into that debate. Let's challenge each other on our ideas to improve this state. Suspend with the name calling. Suspend with the derisive politics. And let's talk about what matters to the people of this state. That's certainly what I'm going to do.
So it didn't seem like you were really in the crosshairs of your Democratic opponents leading up to the primary. But now it's really between you and DeSantis. And I know on his side, a lot of noise is being made about the FBI probe going on in Tallahassee. Is there anything about that investigation that you're willing to share with me or anything that you want to tell potential voters about?
Yeah, well, I mean, what I can share about that is that I'm not the subject of, and neither is the city of Tallahassee, the subject or target of that investigation. We are, in fact, willing, supportive partners with the FBI as they do their important work. What we've said is that anybody who has done anything wrong ought to be held fully accountable for their actions. What we have also said and have also done under my leadership as mayor is every single document that we've been asked to produce that we can make publicly available, we put on a searchable city website, our searchable city website, so that folks can get access to that rather than requiring them to complete a public records request that they would have to bear the expense of. Contrast how I have dealt with the FBI in this inquiry to how DeSantis and Trump treats the FBI. DeSantis and Trump have stood in the way of their investigation at every turn. They've undermined the important work of the FBI. The president has gone so far even as to suggest a deep state is at work to undermine his presidency within the FBI. I disagree with that. I reject that characterization. That agency has important work to do, and anything that I can do to assist them in bringing that investigation to conclusion and to make sure that any guilty party is held fully responsible, I'm going to do that. But as for me, I don't have a single worry for my actions. I am completely in line and in support of the work that they're doing, and we'll do everything that we can to ensure that they can be successful at their job.
So if you've got a few more minutes, I'd love to ask you about Amendments 4 and 5 that are going to be on the ballot in November. You got a little more time?
Sure. I think we're pulling up to my meeting, but I'm certainly willing to share about Amendment 4, that I am a 100% endorser of Amendment 4. It is my belief that once folks have paid their debt to society after making a mistake or committing a crime, we're not talking about letting people off. We're saying once you have paid your debt to society, you ought to have your rights restored. And I'm so pleased to see that Florida is joining the rest of the nation and leaning forward into a public policy that is more reasonable, that's more commonsensical, and that when passed will supply nearly a million people with their right to vote again.
If Amendment 4 doesn't pass and you're elected governor, how would you address the issue?
Well, I will work to address it at the executive office of the governor level and working with the cabinet to ensure that we have a reasonable process in place to restore the rights to former felons. It just doesn't make good sense that we would continue to penalize individuals after they pay their debt to society. I think there is a bipartisan coalition of opinion leaders that are joining to say that this kind of policy has far outlived its time. We've got to do it differently. We've got to create the opportunity for people to get back to work, back to being productive, contributing members of society. But they can't do that if they're not made whole through our public policy system. I want to thank you for the opportunity. I am literally running into a meeting, but really enjoyed the chance to chat with you about these issues.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time, sir.
All right, brother. Take good care.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
WJCT News has also invited a Republican gubernatorial nominee, Ron DeSantis, for a sit-down interview. His campaign has not responded. The general election is November 6th.